We've seen fire right here on this ridge, and I mean, within minutes, it went down the ridge and came around and came up here, and everything was just gone.
The campfire is still burning near the foothills of the Sierra Nevada Mountains in Northern California.
Me and my buddy Mick here fought the whole entire fire off all night long with 5-gallon buckets and a doughboy pool. And that's why we're still here, and we're the only house in this area that survived.
There are multiple fires burning across the state, including the deadly Woolsey Fire north of Los Angeles. But the damage from the campfire has been particularly horrendous. Dozens of people have died, and nearly the entire town of Paradise was wiped out in what has become the deadliest and most destructive fire in California's history.
It's so surreal, almost. Like, I was born here, and I was raised here most of my life, so it's like all I knew, it's just gone. After literally like 24 hours, everything's gone.
Those are voices of Paradise residents from the San Jose Mercury News. Julia Protas-Sulik is with the Mercury News, and she's been reporting from Paradise and the surrounding area for days. Julia, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello, Tanzina.
So what does the town look like today?
Oh, boy. It is amazing, the scale of the destruction. It's wide and deep and consumed the entire town. Just driving through block after block, these long roads, miles to the left, miles to the right. It's stunning. And interestingly, one of the few things that didn't burn was the cemetery. It's just a really crazy apocalyptic scene. And it's just amazing that there's a few buildings left downtown, but I'm telling you, more than 7,600 homes were burned. It's just hard to comprehend.
Is the search, are officials still searching for survivors? And if so, how are those efforts going?
Oh, boy. I haven't even, the only way I've heard that word survivor is from people who are down here in Chico or Oroville. There's just no way that there's any survivors up there. And unfortunately, the grim job of recovering the bodies is going on every day now. There are cadaver dogs that are going from lot to lot. And unfortunately, the other day, they came across the body of an elderly gentleman at the end of his front walk with an oxygen machine and a walker. And a blanket was still sitting there. And it's so sad to think that, you know, he just couldn't get out and died right there. It's just the agony that people must have gone through is just really hard to even bear for people to think of.
And you've been in the area since Friday, Julia. Where are people staying? Do they have enough supplies? Is there enough water, food?
Well, a lot of people, luckily churches and the Elks Lodge and Red Cross has set up evacuation centers and people have a roof over their heads there. But I was in the Walmart parking lot, you know, across the country. Walmart has huge parking lots and people tend to, you know, people who might have a trailer tend to park there overnight. But I'm telling you, here in Chico, this Walmart parking lot has become not only a donation center and, you know, food setup, but a tent city is forming on the edge on this vacant lot. And it's just growing every day. And the saddest thing is to see these people who are day five, day six, without their, they have porta potties out there, but there were no portable showers yesterday. I was interviewing people who hadn't showered in 5 days. They are freezing. It's in the 30s overnight. Luckily, there's donated blankets and things on the parking lot. So people are in borrowed clothing, donated clothing. And it's this sort of makeshift. Volunteers are trying to organize it. And people are just banding together, forming little circles of chairs and tents. People they know welcoming people into the circle. It kind of reminds me of those historical photos from the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco. These people just out in the cold, lining up for food and jackets and tents.
And you mentioned being in Chico. Their fires are actually very near Chico. Is there concern that they will move that way?
No, I don't think so now. They have the fire about 35% contained, and it's not moving towards the town of Chico. This is a college town here, and I mean, never say never. I covered the fires in Santa Rosa last year, and they came right into this residential neighborhood, flatlands, and no one could ever imagine that would happen. But there's no indication that that's going to happen here in Chico. The fire is burning more into other maybe tiny little communities that have pockets of homes. And of course, just amazing work by firefighters doing everything they can to make sure that doesn't happen.
I was going to ask you about the firefighters. They must be working around the clock at this point.
Oh, yes, they are. And of course, the Butte County Sheriff insisted that some of his staff, of officers take a break because they were not sleeping then and it was just getting too much. Firefighters, I mean, boy, these guys have done this kind of work and they know how to do shifts and they keep sending in fresh horses, to relieve people because just like anyone, they need their sleep to be able to do their job. It's backbreaking work, with bulldozers and hand shovels digging lines.
Are there firefighters coming in from other cities at this point or is it pretty much contained to the state of California?
Oh, they're coming in from all over. And of course, the Malibu fire was taking a lot of resources as well. But I think they have more than 5,000 firefighters. And you see, of course, the names of the cities that they're from, on their uniforms and their trucks. This is the kind of fire where it's all hands on deck and everyone available rushes in.
Julia Protas-Sulek is a reporter for the San Jose Mercury News. Julia, thank you for your report.
You're welcome.
We want you to be part of the Takeaways Listener Response Network. We'll send you a few text messages a week about topics we're discussing on our show. To sign up, just text the word START to 69866. Standard data and messaging rates apply, and you can always text the word STOP to opt out. Again, text START to 69866 to join our conversation every day. You can also connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on Instagram. We're at The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.